This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. This message comes from NPR sponsor Osea, with skincare sets for Mother's Day in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hey, y'all. Sam Sanders here. Want to tell you about the only NPR show where you can hear about the latest White House drama and the return of TRL to MTV. The show is called It's Been a Minute. Every Friday, we catch up on the week of news and culture, everything. And every Tuesday, I sit down for some long interviews with authors, filmmakers, directors, and more. You can find It's Been a Minute on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Ophira. This episode of Ask Me Another originally aired back in March, and I think we can all agree it was a much different time. Enjoy.
Warning, this podcast uses some unsavory language. Please be advised.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Today on Ask Me Another, we're playing a game about words that rhyme with toys. So here's a speed round. What do you use to keep your jigsaw quiet?
That is a puzzle muzzle.
Yeah. What about a toy locomotive that's too cocky for its own good?
That's a vain train.
Yeah. What about tiny horses that make the FBI director feel like friendship is magic?
That's James Comey's My Little Pony.
Good enough.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, and now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. We have a great show for you. Four brilliant contestants are here to play our nerdy games. They're backstage, filling out their NPR March Madness brackets. Will Terry Gross take down Lakshmi Singh? And our special guest is stand-up comic Judy Gold. A bunch of her material centers around what it's like to be a Jewish mother. And I wonder, what kind of Jewish mother am I going to be? Will I complain to my son that he never calls me? Then again, my son will be a teenager in 2030. So it'll be more like, Lucas, you never mind meld with me. And that new planet, you never take me to TRAPPIST-1b. That android you spend so much time with, Rosenbot, that's her name? Well, is she Jewish? Our first two contestants will play a game about words that rhyme with toys. It's perfect for anyone who got a blister playing Twister, and really, who hasn't? Let's meet them. First up, Elizabeth Gorman on buzzer number one.
Hello.
Hi. You work at a nonprofit and recently adopted a kitten. Welcome.
Thank you.
Your opponent is Cassie Jackson on buzzer number two.
Hey there.
You're an administrative assistant at an investment bank specializing in healthcare. Welcome.
That's correct. Thanks.
All right, Elizabeth and Cassie, the first of you who win two of our games will move on to the final round at the end of the show. We're going to start with a word game called Toy Joy. In this game, every answer is a toy or a game paired with a word that rhymes with that toy. Jonathan Colton, would you like to give us an example?
I would. So if I said, if you're the first player to get rid of your cards, you win a trip to the capital of Alaska, you would answer, Juno Uno.
All right, so it does not matter what order you say the words in, buzz in to answer. And here we go. It walks downstairs alone or in pairs, and boy, does it reek. Elizabeth.
Stinky slinky.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It reeks for a boy and a girl. That was always the weirdest part of that ad.
It's fun for a boy and a girl.
Slogan, oh, yeah.
Boy, yeah. Mattel's most popular doll now works at a roast beef sandwich chain. Cassie.
Barbie Arby's.
That's right.
Bad mortgage on that dream house. Yeah. Subprime Barbie.
That's all she could find. That's all she could find.
To win this game of global domination, first build up an army in Australia, then invade this delicious French soup. Elizabeth.
Risk bisque.
Yeah, that's right.
This game of intersecting words is based off the 2006 Brad Pitt movie featuring four intersecting stories.
Oh.
Oh, Cassie.
Scrabble Babble?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. We didn't think anyone saw that movie, even though it's...
It was nominated for Best Picture, a little thing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely
Academy
hadn't
Award
seen
nominations.
It. Yeah.
But you knew it. That's all you needed for the answer. Oh, by the way, little side note is the fifth edition of the official Scrabble Player's Dictionary was updated for the first time in more than a decade, and they added 5,000 words like chillax.
Really?
Selfie.
I don't know if I like this.
Dubstep.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds so old already, right? You're like, huh? Bounce the ball, send a document on a piece of paper, then pick up as many cover sheets as you can. Elizabeth.
Jack's Facts?
Jack's Facts is exactly right.
Can you solve the mystery of who gave Mr. Body a contagious respiratory illness? Elizabeth, you look surprised that you buzzed in.
I hit it a little bit faster than I meant to.
Uh-huh.
Clue flu.
Clue flu is right.
That's right. Maybe Mr. Body should stop licking candlesticks.
Yeah, those things are filthy.
Exactly.
You don't know where those things
have
been.
That coiled rope?
Uh-huh.
Don't touch that. This is your last clue. Foam dart guns are the favorite weapon of Brainy, Harmony, and Papa. Elizabeth.
Nerf Smurf?
Yeah, that is correct. Puzzle guru John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, congratulations, Elizabeth. You are one step closer to moving on to our final round. You won that one.
Do you start your day by screaming into a pillow like me? Well, our next audio quiz is about a man who gets paid to yell on camera. But first, let's check in with our contestants. Elizabeth, earlier I mentioned that you adopted a kitten. How old is this kitten, and what is his or her name?
When we adopted him, we named him Captain Mal, after Captain Malcolm from Serenity.
Thank you. Yeah, approval. Approval.
We've now sadly seen enough of his personality that we just kind of call him Captain Butthead.
What's happening?
True.
Is it scratching? Is it...
Constant begging.
Constant begging.
Yes, he will wake us up in the middle of the night begging for food, which he knows he's not going to get. He just wants us to be awake and suffering. Hence, Captain Butthead.
Huh, what an adorable pet that is. Training? Can you train a cat? Sort of, maybe? Are you
if
trying?
If someone can, they should tell me.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure. Catnip, have you tried that?
No.
No?
Yeah. Well, not personally, but...
Have you, Elizabeth, ever just had a night home alone with some candles and some catnip? Cassie, you're part of a charity cheerleading team.
Yeah.
So who are you cheering for?
So it's a group called Cheer New York, and instead of cheering on for a particular sports team, what we do is we essentially just cheer on all of the five boroughs. So we're at a lot of, like, the races, the New York City Marathon, the half marathons, and a lot of walks for charity.
Now, if I wanted to, like, have you guys just, like, cheer me in my daily life.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely willing to do it for
really?
A donation, yeah.
And so do you guys get together and, like, practice?
Yep.
Are there moves and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We're just like any ESPN cheer team you can imagine. We do the stunts, the flips, the dance moves. We do it all, so.
Do you do the flips?
I myself don't, but
okay.
I do flip other people. I throw people.
Really?
Yeah.
You throw people?
Yeah, that's my role.
That sounds great. So we have an audio quiz for you called Mr. Shouty. We've noticed that Samuel L. Jackson does shout a lot. And so in this game, I'll play a clip of Samuel L. Jackson shouting. You identify the movie he is yelling in. And if you can't get it from the clip, we have some more clues for you. So Elizabeth, you won the last game, so win this, and you will be off to the final round. Cassie, you need to win this, or you'll have to sit through 8 minutes of credits to see if there is an extra scene at the end. And guess what? There isn't. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's your first clip.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Puzzle Guru John Chinesky, how about a hint?
This movie also stars Spike Lee and Danny Aiello. Very early Spike Lee. It's set in Bed-Stuy.
Elizabeth.
Is it Do the Right Thing?
Yeah, it's Do the Right Thing.
All right, this one is a gimme.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these on this.
Elizabeth. Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, that's right. People keep putting them in the overhead bin. All right, we've got a few more for you. Let's see about this one.
Honey!
What?
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit?
I put it away!
Where?
Cassie.
The Incredibles?
Yeah, that's right. It's like my life every day. You? Here's another one.
So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together, and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this wound.
That was the sound of Samuel L. Jackson being eaten by a shark.
Elizabeth.
Deep Blue? Something?
Can you be more specific?
In the Deep?
No. Cassie, do you know the title of this?
I can guess.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Deep Blue Sea?
Yes, that's correct.
Cassie gets the point, but we can all agree there was some teamwork.
Way to go.
Play there.
I just have to say, that is the finest moment in the history of cinema.
The shark eating Samuel Jackson?
Fantastic surprise. I loved it. I laughed and laughed.
And then that shark goes on to Sharknado.
Yeah, I assume those sharks were the sharks in Sharknado.
There's a few character sharks that get all the roles.
Once you train a shark to act on camera,
exactly.
You might as well keep using it in films.
Yeah, they do VOs and everything. All right, this is your last clue.
Access main security. Access main program grid.
You didn't say the magic word.
Please! Hate this hacker crap.
Phone address, people.
He's being denied access to a computer on an island. Also stars Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern.
Elizabeth.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah! Puzzle Guru John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, Elizabeth won that one. That's her second. She moves on to our final round. Congratulations, Elizabeth.
Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Elizabeth in our final round at the end of the show. And our special guest comedian Judy Gold goes for the Ask Me Another Gold, which in this case is a reusable grocery bag and a coffee mug with the old Morning Edition logo. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru John Chinesky. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, our contestant Elizabeth won her way to the final round at the end of the show. We'll find out a little later who she will face off against. But first, it's time to welcome our special guest. She's a stand-up comic who hosts the podcast Kill Me Now and guest stars on Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here. I sense a troubling theme. So please send help to our guest, Judy Gold, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome to Ask Me Another.
I'm so excited. Do you know how excited I am to be on the show?
Seriously?
Well, first of all, I listen to NPR all the time because I'm really smart. And I love you because, you know, I'm at the gym and I imagine it in my head.
Yeah.
And now I'm here
and
on stage.
And is this how it looks?
I guess it does now.
Yeah.
Now I'll never have my old thing back in my head. You know, it'll always be this, unfortunately. All
right. So I look up to you, but I like to think we have a few things in common because we do. Both of our parents were much older than our friends' parents growing
up. Yes.
How do you think that influenced your comic sensibility?
You know, it's interesting because they were very old-fashioned. Things were important to my parents and my grandmother that were not important to other people. Like, my grandmother was very into penmanship. And, like, I still to this day will handwrite thank you notes if someone invites me over for dinner. And they were, you know, your parents are older. They're not out partying.
No.
And, you know.
And I feel like had a really, like, maybe this is say my parents had a very kind of a dark sense of humor because they'd been through
so much
stuff.
They'd
been through war.
Nothing, and it's great when nothing, when you come home, you say, this is great, and then, you know, your mother says, but just wait, because it's going to turn to shit in about a week and a half, you know?
Right.
Everything was always so negative, you know? It was always, I remember the first time I did The Tonight Show, my mother leaves me a message. So I watched. Pause. And there's so many commercials. I mean, I waited and waited. I'm like, hello.
Oh yeah.
Any of your other kids doing the Tonight Show?
I know.
You know, but it was a lot different. But you don't appreciate it until
at the time.
Yeah, until you're old and they're dead. So, oh God. It's going to happen to all of you, too. Ooh, so,
yeah.
You know, definitely a different kind of
on the death
upbringing.
Thing, I do remember as a teenager saying to my mom, like some sort of bratty thing. I just went, she was like, do this or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe I'll die young. And she said, you won't be that lucky. I do remember that.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Warm. Now, you're in this new Showtime series, I'm Dying Up Here.
I'm Dying Up Here is a new Showtime series about stand-up in the 70s in L.A.
Were there people in the 70s that you looked up to?
Well,
did you look up to certain comics in the 70s or listen
absolutely.
To those records?
I mean, I loved Joan Rivers. First of all, there's no one with a work ethic like hers. And she was fearless. And, you know, it got to the point where she just didn't care, which is where I am now. But, yeah, so... But I remember I would come to the city to hang out at the clubs. I would see Larry David. I would see Jerry Seinfeld. Joy Behar was just starting out. Susie Essman. I remember when I saw Carol Leifer there, I was like, oh, my God. You know, I had watched all these comics, you know, on The Tonight Show. And I would hang out until very, very, very late. And at that time, you know, in the 80s, the club stayed open till 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I would go on for, you know, some mob boss and his, you know, mistress and then two drunk people in the corner. But I knew I was funny because the band laughed. If you ever go to a comedy club and they have a band or the wait staff or the people that work there actually stop to listen to you, then you know you're funny.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they hear it.
They hear everything.
Now, you know, we had a comic by the name of Cameron Esposito on our show
a little while ago.
And, you know, so things are very different. For example, she starts her act basically by going, I'm gay.
Right.
When did you come out in your act?
Well, I was never in, but I just didn't talk about it.
Okay.
And then I had children. And when my first son, Henry, was born, 1996, I had so much material from being a new mom. Like, we went to the Jew store on Broadway and 90th to get yarmulkes for the bris, right? And my ex, she likes me to call her Wendy, but, you know, because she doesn't want me to use her real name, Sharon. So, so we call her Schwendy. Anyway, so Schwendy had given birth to Henry, and she had a C-section, and, you know, I said, let's go for a walk, and we go to the West Side Judaica, and where I know everyone in there. It's so ridiculous. And I'm standing in line, and a woman says to me, oh, my God, that baby is so cute. And I said, thank you. And how old? And I said, 6 days. And she said, 6 days? And you look fabulous. And I said, oh, thank you very much. And, I, you know, all these things would happen. And I was like, you know, every comic talks about their families.
Yeah.
And you have to just treat it as it is, which is not a non-issue. It's a matter of fact, you know?
So, yes, absolutely. I agree. Did you feel, like, pressure, or did you have any manager or agents be like, don't talk about...
100%.
Yeah.
Mostly the Jew stuff that they said, you're too Jewish, don't do the Jew stuff. I mean, look at me. Hello? But, yeah, the gay thing, because it was the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I was lucky, because I was up there talking about, you know, my family as a gay mom, and it was so important to me to show people that my family's just like yours. We have the same issues. You're laughing at this because you identify with it. And I ended up really starting to talk about marriage equality as well. It was all about dignity and human rights, you know? And so I really am an advocate for coming out. I won't out anyone, but I do think it's really important to come out so that everyone knows that they know and love a gay person, because everyone pretty much does know and love a gay person.
Right.
Or a trans person, you know.
You have a podcast called Kill Me Now.
Yes,
where
I do.
You talk with well-known celebrities, comedians, about what makes them angry. So what is the most frequent thing people say ticks them off?
I would say it's either has to do with social media and people looking at their phones.
Right.
Or blatant unfairness.
All right. So if people just were kind to each other, how would your podcast still exist?
Okay. You could be kind and still look at your phone while you're walking up the subway stairs and be like, you know, I'm in a rush. Get the, you know, it's just, no, there's plenty to get pissed
off. Okay,
there's
good.
Bad drivers. Ugh. That's beyond pissed off. That's like rage and gross.
Judy, you had a solo show in 2011 called The Judy Show, My Life as a Sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have a well-documented love of sitcoms.
Yes.
So, we wrote a game for you called Very Special Episodes. In this game, Jonathan and I will give you a synopsis of a particularly weird episode from a classic sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is tell us what the sitcom is.
Oh, okay.
And if you need a hint, our puzzle guru, John Chinesky, is standing by. And if you get enough right, Corbett Hall from Jonesboro, Arkansas, is going to win and ask me another Rubik's Cube. Here we go. Edith wants to make new friends, so she answers a couple's personal ad and has them over for dinner. The couple turns out to be super friendly, like super, super friendly, because guess what? They're swingers.
All in the Family.
Yeah, that's
right,
correct.
Baby! Boy, the way that Miller played. Okay.
Louise finds out that someone interesting is subletting the apartment across the hall. It's Sammy Davis Jr. That's the whole episode.
Louise was more commonly known to her husband by a nickname.
Right. And the nickname was Wheezy.
Yeah.
And it's the Jeffersons!
That's right.
We're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
Moving on up.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. All right, go ahead. I get to do theme song, too.
That's great.
Okay, go.
The sitcom's titular female duo wins a trip on a private chartered flight, but the pilot passes out, and guess what? There's no co-pilot. That's right. So our heroes must take over the plane's controls to save everyone's lives.
I'm going to go with Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, you're going to go with correct. That's right.
Thank you.
That's back when there were female roommates.
Yeah, remember that? I had a roommate in the 80s, too. Yeah.
Mary tries to impress a congresswoman by throwing her a dinner party, but everyone agrees Mary is an awful entertainer. She only has 6 chairs, so Ted isn't invited. Then Rhoda shows up with Henry Winkler, who has to sit at a little table by the window.
This is the ringtone on my phone. Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you. Well, I thought you were, joining in.
Oh, sorry.
You girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all around. No need to waste it. You can have the town. Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all. I'm gonna go with Mary Tyler Moore on that one.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
No.
Puzzle guru John Chinesky, how did Judy Gold do?
Congratulations, Judy Gold. You and Corbett Hall have both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Thank you.
Judy Gold's podcast is called Kill Me Now, and she guest stars on the Showtime series I'm Dying Up Here. Everyone give it up for Judy Gold.
Thank you, guys. So much fun.
Coming up, we'll find out if you know your Mark Felt from your Michael Phelps from your Juan Pablo Galaviz when we play This, That, or the Other. Let's meet our next two contestants. First up, Gina Gullo on buzzer number 1.
Hello.
Hi. You're joining us from Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, and you're working on a dissertation in educational leadership. Welcome. Welcome. Your opponent is Chris Sunderick on buzzer number 2. And you're finishing a PhD in bone tissue engineering. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Remember, Gina and Chris, the first of you who wins 2 of our games will move on to the final round at the end of the show. Gina, would you rather be on The Bachelor or on The Bachelorette?
I'm going to have to go with The Bachelorette. I mean, I don't want to be chasing after a guy, so let's have them chase after me.
Yeah, that's right. Whole bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, would you rather be on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
I think I'm very indecisive by nature, so I'm going to have to go with The Bachelorette as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I can pick a woman every episode. That's just, it's too much to handle.
There's a lot of pressure.
All right, so first you'll play a guessing game called This, That, or the Other. I'm going to give you a book title, and you just have to guess who wrote it from one of 3 possibilities. Jonathan Colton, what are the possibilities?
Each book was written by either an FBI agent, or an Olympic athlete, or a participant on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
We're going to go back and forth, so no need to buzz in. Let's give it a shot. Here we go. Gina, Endless Enemies. Is that the title of a book of an FBI agent, Olympic athlete, or participant on The Bachelor or Bachelorette? Endless Enemies.
No, it sounds like an FBI thing, but I'm going to go with Olympic person, athlete.
No, I'm sorry. Chris, can you steal?
I'm going to go with FBI agent.
You got it. That's right. You went FBI agent, then you said no, Olympic. But it was FBI agent. Although, it would be great if it was a bachelor. All right, Chris, age is just a number.
Olympic athlete.
Yeah, that's right. Olympic athlete. Dara Torres, the first competitive swimmer to represent the U.S. in 5 sets of Olympic Games. On The Bachelorette, that number, by the way, is 27. Gina, nobody's perfect.
The Bachelor or Bachelorette?
Yes, that is correct. That was by 2 Bachelor contestants. Yeah, they had to get together to write that one. Chris, the book is What Every Body is Saying.
FBI agent.
That is right. Yeah, it's about how to speed read people. Gina, Landing on My Feet.
Okay. I'm going to go with Olympian.
You're going to go with correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Carrie Strug, a member of the Magnificent 7 Olympic gymnast team in 1996. She completed her vault, but then had an ankle injury and actually was carried to the podium. But she landed on her feet, and I guess that's all that matters. Chris, chocolate socks.
I'm going to go with Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Well, you got that one. Yeah, that's right. It's a children book about socks made out of chocolate.
Sounds good.
It's written by season 12 contestant Holly Durst. According to her website, her 2 favorite things are chocolate and socks.
You know, write what you know.
Yeah. All right, these are your last clues. Gina, for the right reasons.
For the right reasons? I hope it's an FBI agent.
You would hope, yeah. But as we know from recent news, that's not right, is it? Okay, Chris, can you steal for the right reasons?
I'm going to go with Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah, I'm afraid that is correct, yeah. It's Sean Lowe, who is often referred to as the Virgin Bachelor. All right, Chris, I didn't come here to make friends. FBI agent, Olympic athlete, or Bachelor Bachelorette contestant?
Sounds like a very competitive thing to say. Yeah. I'm going to go with Olympic athlete.
Yeah, you would hope it would be amazing, but that is incorrect. Can you steal, Gina?
I'm going to go with Bachelor Bachelorette.
Afraid so. That is correct,
right.
Yeah. That was by Courtney Roberts in season 16's Villain.
There's 16 seasons?
There's 16 seasons. There's more than 16 seasons. Puzzle guru John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, Gina had a nice comeback at the end, but Chris is our winner for this round. He's one step closer to moving on to the final round.
Would you like to be a contestant on Ask Me Another or see us live, but you can't come to Brooklyn? No problem. Ask Me Another will come to you if you live in Arizona or Virginia. We'll be in Phoenix at the Orpheum Theater on April 6th and at the Virginia Arts Festival on May 18th. Tickets and information at amatickets.org. Coming up, Jonathan Coulton will literally sing what is figuratively the world's greatest music parody game of 2017. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why accessibility is central to Betterment's mission.
The real innovation for Betterment was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging. These are all sort of tricks of the trade.
Learn more about automated investing technology at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Coulton, here with puzzle guru John Chinesky. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Gina and Chris. Let's go to your next game, where Jonathan Colton will play literal interpretations of songs with one-word titles. Gina, what would be the one-word title of your autobiography?
Probably Ouch. Yeah. Aww.
Are you clumsy?
I'm clumsy, and then when I'm not clumsy, I tend to do things that are not necessarily feeling great sometimes. So I make a lot of weird mistakes.
Okay. All right, banging yourself up. Okay, Chris, what is the one-word title of your autobiography?
Well, I'm a career scientist, and most of that time has been in cell bio, so I think I would name my autobiography Cell. And I've always been fascinated with the idea that within every cell in our body is a blueprint of us. Yeah. And if we can unlock the potential of the cells in our body, then we are capable of treating any number of diseases.
Yeah, you got scary there for a second and then back to normal. I was like, oh my God, evil. And then you were like, oh no, for good, for good, for good. Jonathan Colton has a music parody about overly literal songs.
Yes, I do. In this game, I will play you songs that have one-word titles. However, we've changed the lyrics to be about the literal definition of the song's title. So you just need to buzz in and identify the song.
So, Chris, you won the last game. You win this, and you go right to the final round. Gina, you need to win this, or you have to sing Kenny Rogers' Lady to me after the show, and you got to make it sound sincere.
I'll do what I can.
Okay.
Here we go.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could trust in something, could just believe in something without the burden of proof.
Gina?
Evidence?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Okay.
Do you know the answer, Chris?
Faith.
Faith!
Yeah,
that's right,
I
George
see how
Michael.
This game works.
I thought maybe you weren't sure about.
I didn't know that the tune mattered.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. we're changing it up.
I like it now.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I liked it before, too.
Okay.
I get
that's
it now.
That's very sweet.
Sorry.
That's very sweet.
See? Ouch.
Here we go. Train, 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 train. It gets me to my desk, 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 desk. Turn my computer on. So I can do the stuff. They hired me to do. Cause that's how I get paid. Chris.
Work.
Work is right.
A doctor checks my heart with her stethoscope and asks me if I quit smoking. Takes note of all of my vital signs. It's all quite routine.
Chris?
Checkup.
Checkup is a good guess. That's not the answer, though. Gina?
I guess vitals?
It's another fine
so close,
guess.
So
no?
close.
The answer we're looking for was physical.
Oh, let's get physical.
That's Olivia Newton-John, yes. Yeah. Ouch. Now you're going to make Gina feel bad if you say ouch every time something bad happens on stage.
Sometimes it's programmable, but mostly it's just flammable. Your eyes will face north, north, north as you watch it on the fourth.
Chris.
Firework.
Firework by Katy Perry, that's right.
Feeling like I'm getting sick. Think someone slipped me arsenic. Unless it's rising instead. Sweating, coughing, barfing. Oh no, I'm dead.
Chris.
Poison.
Poison. That's right.
Ricin, that's the stuff in my back molar.
I hope not.
You know, for when things get bad.
Just in case.
Yeah.
You know, it's kept safe in a capsule for you to bite
that's
when
right.
it's time.
That's
to...
right. I remember that I got that with the job at NPR.
Everyone is issued a poison tooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case we fall into the wrong hands.
That's right.
And it's not like sandpaper. It doesn't have bumps. It's like those mashed potatoes that don't have no lumps. It It's like a baby's bottom or a block of ice, yeah. It's a description of silk. That's all I'll say about it.
Gina.
Smooth?
Smooth, you got it. This is your last clue.
You just take these two things upon your face. I take the same things in the same place. And then together we're moving toward each other so much. Cause we want our facial regions to touch.
Lips.
Gina, I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Yep.
Chris, do you know the answer?
We don't want our facial regions to touch?
We do. We do.
Kiss.
Kiss is correct. That's right. That's Prince. That's Prince.
Thank God.
John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Chris literally won his second game, so he's moving on to the final round. Congratulations, Chris.
While Elizabeth and Chris get ready for the final round, it's time for us to play a game called Mystery Guest. A stranger is about to come on stage, Jonathan Colton, and I have no idea who this person is or what makes them special, but our puzzle guru John Chinesky does.
That's right. Ophira and Jonathan will work together as a team to figure out our mystery guest's secret by asking yes or no questions. Mystery guest, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Autumn Stamford, and I just started an interesting business.
Okay, Ophira, you ask the first question.
Interesting business. Okay, does your business involve interacting with other people?
Yes.
Interesting that that was a pause.
Autumn, as part of your business, do you make things?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine people are buying these things.
Yes.
Okay. Just to be clear, because, you know, the people are alive.
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's a weird question.
Well, no, not based on our past experience.
You never know.
Are the things you make, are they food related?
Yes.
Are they baked goods?
Yes.
Are you selling these out of a storefront-like location?
Yes.
I have to say that one of the things that makes Autumn's business unique is not the storefront aspect of it. It's a storefront plus something else.
So, okay, so it's some sort of dessert-like thing, but the way I'm getting it, you're saying, is a little bit more interesting than just going to a store. Like it's coming via a bird or something like that.
Yeah, it's cakes delivered by bird. It's one of those things.
Is that your business, cakes delivered by birds?
No.
Because I'm investing. Okay.
But it's something in addition to the storefront that's interesting.
Okay.
Autumn, do you have a sex dungeon in your cake store?
I don't,
okay.
No.
It's worth a shot. Is there delivery involved?
Yes.
There is delivery involved.
Okay.
This is a high-speed cake delivery service?
No.
No? Okay, does the cake come way later than you were hoping?
It's a very slow cake delivery service.
Slowest.
It comes late.
What?
Cake comes in
late.
About a year.
It comes
is
late?
Is it 24-hour cake delivery?
Close.
Wait a second. She just
23-hour cake delivery.
She says it comes late.
It comes late.
There are baked goods that are usually paired with a particular drink.
Okay, so it's like a coffee and a donut kind of thing. Is it a donut?
No.
All right.
Is it a cookie?
Yes.
Okay, it's a cookie. It's a cookie.
It's late night cookies and milk.
That's it, Jonathan.
It's
you
a
got
late
it.
Night cookies and milk delivery.
There you go.
That's right. Autumn is the owner of Brooklyn Kolache, a bakery. She just started Bake Sale, a late night service delivering freshly baked cookies and milk. She wanted to do something for the community, so a percentage of her profits go to the Bed-Stuy campaign against hunger.
Ah. Autumn, we meandered so far away from the wonderful and like simply nice thing that you do. Nice job. Nice job for getting there. We're like, she's got whips and chains. Yeah. It's midnight. You want a cake.
The sex dungeon was definitely the wrong.
She slaps you in the face, as it will come later. I don't know where we were going. But what inspired this business idea?
You know, the bakers and I all talked, and we started talking about doing late-night cookies, and nobody's really doing it in North Brooklyn. So we were playing around with names, and somebody said bake sale, and I thought, well, bake sale is a fundraiser. And so we started looking at different fundraising components, and that's how it all came about.
And what kind of cookies are you making?
We make monster cookies. And
what are monster cookies?
Monster cookies have everything. They have like oatmeals and M&Ms. And
what's your most popular cookie? I think you have something called the Ube Crinkle?
Yeah, we have an Ube Crinkle. My spouse is Filipino, and it's a crinkle cookie, but it's made out of ube, which is a purple yam that's very popular in the Philippines.
Yeah. And what's the latest time that I can order cookies and milk to my house?
The last order has to be placed by 1 a.m.
Placed by 1 a.m.?
Yeah.
There are many nights where I would want somebody to deliver
Are you
cookies
kidding
and
me?
Milk to me at that hour.
Absolutely.
Even if I was asleep, I would love for somebody to come into my room and wake me up with some hot
and
cookies.
And just shove a cookie
in shove a cookie
mouth.
In my mouth and I'll go back to sleep.
Now, we can't get out of this without asking, what's kolache?
Sure. A kolache is a slightly sweet yeast bread that's stuffed with a sweeter savory filling. And they're originally a Czech pastry, but most people know them from Texas. There's a huge Czech populations in Texas. And so in Texas, a kolache is almost like a donut. You can find it at grocery stores or fancy bakeries.
And they have roadside kolache in Texas, is that right?
Yeah. So most people who get kolaches do it when they're traveling between major cities. You'll go into like a Czech town, and it started off as these small bakeries with a gas station attached. And then there's sort of a rivalry that happens, some of these kolache bakery gas stations. And so they've kind of gotten bigger and bigger. And now they're like these mega complexes where people go and they buy a bunch of kolaches and they refill their gas, they use the restroom.
So you're bringing the kolache love to Brooklyn.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Everyone give it up for our mystery guest, Autumn Stanford. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's welcome back our contestant, Elizabeth, who adopted a cat she calls Captain Butthead. And Chris, who, when given the choice between being a bachelor or a contestant on The Bachelorette, he'd choose the latter because he struggles with decision-making. Puzzle Guru John Chinesky, take it away.
Okay, Chris and Elizabeth, your final round is called Zero G. I'll give you a clue to a two-word phrase. The first word ends in ing, and the second word sounds like the first word with the last G removed. For example, if I said brushing dirt off the actor Hoffman, you'd answer dusting Dustin. Now, we're playing this round like a penalty shootout. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Judy Gold. Now, we flipped a coin backstage, and Chris, you're going to go first. Chris, stealing money from Batman's sidekick.
Robbing Robin.
That's correct. Elizabeth, lifting up a dried grape.
Raising raisin.
That's right. Chris, multiplying by two the population of the Republic of Ireland's capital.
Doubling Dublin.
That's right. Elizabeth, dipping something into coffee with the king from Macbeth.
Dunking Duncan.
That's right. Chris, connecting to the URL of the author of the Gettysburg Address.
Linking Lincoln.
Yes. Elizabeth, using an oven with Kira Sedgwick's husband, Kevin.
Baking bacon.
That's right. Chris, roughly pulling along a mythical flying creature. 3 seconds.
Griffing Griffin?
No. It's dragging dragon. Elizabeth, strolling with the Christopher who said, more cowbell.
Walking, walking.
That's right. Now we're at the halfway point. Elizabeth is in the lead 4-3. Chris, separating hair with a comb with singer Dolly.
Parting Parton.
Yes. Elizabeth, losing a tan with the former governor of Alaska.
Paling Palin.
You seem so excited. You are correct. Yes, Paling Palin. Chris, having an outstanding debt with Luke Wilson's brother.
Owing Owen.
That's right, Owing Owen. Elizabeth, grabbing a quarter of the year distinguished by its weather. 3 seconds. That was seizing season. Chris, busting a move with Mary Steenburgen's husband, Ted.
Dancing, dancing?
Yes, that's right. Dancing, dancing. Pulled it out. Elizabeth, making a turkey sound with an evil elf-like creature.
Goblin, goblin.
Yes. Now we're on the last question for each of you. The score is tied. You each have one question left. Here we go. Chris, raising your voice with the chair of the Federal Reserve.
Yelling, yelling?
Yes, yelling, yelling. Elizabeth, you must answer this question correctly or Chris wins. Staying out of view with composer Franz Joseph.
Hiding Haydn.
Hiding Haydn is right. We are tied. Here's your tiebreaker. Join a sorority with a native of the country that has Moscow as the capital. Elizabeth.
Rushing Russian.
Rushing Russian is correct. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Elizabeth, and that's our show. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is John Chinesky.
Hey, my name anagrams to Oh Heck Ninjas.
Our house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Ashlyn Hatch, Sean Kennedy, Glenn McDonald, and senior writers Karen Lurie and J. Keith Van Stratton. Our senior supervising producer is Art Chung. Ask Me Another is produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Julia Melfi, Danny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Toya Singh, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grundman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Rick Kwan, and Nate Kinsella. Ask Me Another was created by Eric Newsom and Jesse Baker. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, you, listening from the Sunshine State, reciting the credits. Yes, you! You should be a contestant on Ask Me Another. We'll be at the Hard Rock Live, Orlando, on October 19th, so go to amatickets.org to take our contestant quiz. Next time on Ask Me Another, we grapple with failure. The sound of failure, that is. We challenge contestants to identify the game or game show based on the sound you hear when you lose. Then Jonathan Colton leads us in a music parody about people who make their living as talking heads, set to Talking Head songs. Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, for NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR. This message comes from Schwab. It's easy to invest in ideas you believe in with Schwab investing themes, like online music and videos, artificial intelligence, and electric vehicles. Choose from over 40 customizable themes. More at schwab.com.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.